Welcome to those of you who have gathered here today in this way to engage in visio divina, to walk on sacred ground. Let me introduce Catherine just a moment. It's a piece that's written in the bulletin. The artist Catherine Fenton is in her final year, and she agrees to that. Final year of study at seminary in the Masters of Arts in religion with a concentration in art. She studied art at the Messiah College for 2 years before she transferred to Eastern Mennonite University and completed her bachelor's degree of art in studio art. I have been inspired by Catherine's artwork over the past several years as she has had a display down on the wall, the art wall, on several occasions, and I've deeply appreciated it, and it has caught my imagination and helped deepen my awareness of God present. So I do invite you to visit her present exhibit, which is The Land of Mary, My Pilgrimage in Lithuania, which some of what she is sharing with us today. And it's on display in that art gallery, and it is just outside the main office door. If for those of you who have not walked by it or have not seen it, and invite you to stop and pause and contemplate, because she says that her stated intent of this particular display is to create a holy space for people to pray and to meditate and to represent the holy spaces that she found while she was visiting Lithuania. And I understand you've been there several times, so that land keeps drawing you back. The land they call the Land of Mary. So welcome to all of you as we gather this way. We will walk down through this particular worship service, and it will be an opportunity for you to come and to just participate by viewing, by visio divina of what we have here on this stage or this platform. Just in brief, visio divina is this. We understand that the Holy Spirit speaks many languages, and one of these languages is certainly art in its many forms. Visio divina is Latin for divine seeing, and it has its roots in the spiritual practice of lectio divina, literally divine reading, this classical Benedictine practice of praying with scriptures to provide for a contemplative time and space, allowing the text to read our hearts and our minds in formative ways. So visio divina, in a sense, has its biblical roots in the invitation to consider, as Jesus would say, the lilies of the field or the birds of the air, or the grass as it's growing, or even the very hairs of our heads. It's also noted that it finds its way in historical presentations of the gospel narratives, and they have been made visible through iconology or cathedral windows. So as prayer, visio divina is a way of orienting our minds and our hearts. It's a way of affecting how we invokes within us a way of praying, illuminating both our hearts and our minds. It's allowing Paul's prayer that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened as we come to know God. So as with lectio divina, you will be invited to prayerfully slow down and open yourself up to the presence of the Spirit. Allow yourself to begin to notice in what is here in front of you, what you see, what draws your attention, what is evoked in your awareness. And begin to allow yourself to pray that awareness. And if there's reflections that you wish to write, there's a nice space on the side of this bulletin to write down some reflections and to hold on to those reflections as what is being evoked within you. It's an opportunity to slow down and let what is visual form you and inform your awareness of God present. I invite you to stand with me for the moment and enter into prayer. Prayer is in the bulletin. In each line, we will begin with open our and then move into the line that's there. So we'll go down through these. Let us pray. Open our ears to hear your voice around us. Open our eyes to see the color and texture of life. Open our minds to think thoughts after you. Open our hearts to respond.
Good morning. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my trip to Lithuania. It's one of my favorite places in the whole world. In a couple of weeks, I will also have an art show for the rest of my show downstairs. I still have to decide a date. So, all right. So this summer, I had the privilege to travel to Lithuania with the undergraduate cross-cultural group led by Jerry Hosopel. This is my second trip to Lithuania. The first was 6 years ago as a student. The most recent trip, I was assisting with the students and able to do an independent study. And that's what the show comes out of. Since the first trip, I have dreamed about going back, literally. I've had dreams that I'm in the airport and I just can't get there. So when I was first approached by Jerry about the possibility of going back to Lithuania, I was thrilled, but never dreamed about that I was about to start a pilgrimage that would change my life and continue to change my life for years to come. I first encountered Mary in Lithuania 6 years ago. I had never given her any thought. We'd never talked about her in church except for Christmas. And she was not somebody we looked up to or learned anything from. I never questioned why we didn't talk about her. I never thought about her much. And I say I encountered Mary because the first time I laid eyes on an image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, she challenged me. I was so unaccustomed to seeing her image, and I couldn't move away from her. Something just kept me there. And her image drove me to look further into who she is and was. And I started seeing Marys everywhere. And after I left Lithuania, I searched for more images of her, but being in the Mennonite Church, we don't have any in our tradition. So I started looking into the Catholic understanding of Mary. And I began digging into Mariology and have continued to do so over the years. So the first trip to Lithuania opened my eyes to new depiction of Christ and the Virgin Mary. And so when Jerry asked me what I would do in Lithuania if I was able to go back, I immediately knew I wanted to continue to study Mary. So after a couple of conversations, I decided I wanted to look into why Lithuania is referred to as the land of Mary, or Maryland, and why Mary is so central to the Lithuanian culture. This is what guided my research while I spent six weeks over there, but I learned a lot more than I had in the course outline and on the trip itinerary. So, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a pilgrimage is a journey to a holy place, and we visited many throughout Lithuania. And as I started doing my research, I located several sites and icons that I needed to visit in order to better understand the culture and to photograph for my final project, which is downstairs. And I compiled a list of sites and figured out when I could get there and did research on the history of the locations and the icons that were there. And it wasn't until halfway through the trip that I realized all the sites that I had planned to visit years before Pope John Paul II had visited on his pilgrimage through Lithuania. So I kept seeing little paintings of him saying that he had been there. And so that was the first time I started to think of this journey I was on as a pilgrimage. And while I was over there, I kept a blog so that I could remember my experiences and so that I could share that with my friends and family back home, since I didn't know how often I would be able to keep in touch. And one post, I said that all of Lithuania has a sense of being a holy place because of the number of churches scattered throughout the cities. And as you walk through the city or even drive through the countryside, you come across shrines and carvings that serve as constant reminders that God is with us. What is striking here is that I was on my own sort of pilgrimage, and along the way are these beautiful shrines. Everywhere you travel in Lithuania, you are reminded that God is the center, whether that reminder is a small roadside shrine carved years ago or a hill that has hundreds of thousands of crosses. I don't believe a pilgrimage is just a journey to a holy place. It is a desire to know, to experience. And I had a desire to know God better, and I had a desire to know who Mary was. I was studying Mary, who Mary was in the Lithuanian culture, but my real desire was to know who she was and who Mary is in my faith. To give you a glimpse into one of my experiences in Lithuania, I'll read a post from my blog. This experience will continue to shape who I am. I wrote, "We went to an Orthodox service this morning. The church was beautiful from the outside and breathtaking on the inside. The whole church was full of incense. Service lasted for about 3 hours. There are only benches for the elderly, so you stand. When you walk in, you are confronted by the Pentacreter, or Lord of Creation, Christ seated on his throne. You know instantly that you're in a holy place. Above Christ, you see the Mother of God of the sign, Mary's hands open and outstretched in prayer, Christ in her belly in a posture of blessing and prayer, both referencing Isaiah's sign. Above Mary, you see a reproduction of Rublev's Trinity, and above that is the cross. Images of Christ's life are all over the sanctuary. The iconostasis, or wall of icons separating the sanctuary from the nave, goes from floor to ceiling, images on every inch. The walls of the church are painted, floor to ceiling. Images of Christ's life and the life of the church dominate the domed ceilings. A group of us were pushed to the right by an older lady in the church. She wanted us to see how beautiful it was. Saints were depicted all around us. There was a small chapel that I'm guessing was dedicated to Mary. Prayer candles were lit in front of each saint. There was a large crucifix where people would cross themselves, bow, and kiss the feet of Christ. The belief with icons is that if you kiss the image, the kiss will be given to the archetype. It was beautiful to witness. This place was holy, the people devoted. This was the most holy place I have been in my life. God was there. It was not an abstract idea of God being where two or three are gathered in his name. He was there. He surrounded everyone. There was a choir who sang the whole time, and the priests chanted during the whole service as well. There were only a couple of times where everyone worshiping sang as well. It was the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. Even without knowing the words or what was being said, you could feel all the souls worshiping as one. I felt the body of Christ this morning. I spent the first hour of the worship transfixed by an image of Mary, she who shows the way. It is an image of Mary holding Christ, pointing to him, showing us that he is the way. I couldn't look at her without crying. I'm still overwhelmed thinking back on it. I was fine if I looked away and ignored her, but as soon as I looked at her again, I would weep. Regardless of your experiences or belief, I know that she spoke to me. I have been searching for her, asking about her, asking why she is important, why Lithuanians are so particularly devoted to her. She answered, "It's so stupid. I can't help but laugh." Her answer was Christ, of course. After that, it was Christ's turn. There was an image of Christ blessing me and holding the scriptures. He spoke to me as well, challenging me. It's not the first time God has spoken to me. It is so overwhelming. There was a slight break in the service, and I had to leave the area to think and recover from my encounters. My heart and mind are full, still are, and I need to rest. I finished out the service in the back, praying and thinking about what happened. I was so grateful during the times we kneeled, yes, for my feet, but also I needed to kneel, bow, and thank the Lord. After this experience, I've decided that Lithuania will be my place of pilgrimage. Each time I have been here, God has used my experiences to shape me and send me back to the church at home. Being on staff at my church at home was stressful, and I was at my breaking point. I forgot to look for God at church. I was distracted and critical. While touring churches, exploring icons, and being with the faithful here in Lithuania, I once again realized that if I look for God, he will find me. I will start looking for God in church again. I will go to church and start every day seeking God and being open to what he wills for my life. So after that service was over, I was able to purchase an icon diptych, a reproduction of the two icons that spoke to me and challenged me, so that I won't forget what I learned there, and hopefully allowing God to continue to speak to me. And so that image is, that diptych is over there, and was the inspiration for my larger diptych that I put together from my trip. So one of the other holy places that we visited was the Orvidus Farm, which is what my larger diptych is from. Vilas Orvidus was a man who grew up in Lithuania during the Soviet occupation and resisted it by continuing to follow God's will. He was a sculptor who learned his trade from his father, who carved tombstones, and they used that cover to be able to continue to carve these religious icons. Orvidus would use the scraps left over from his father's work to carve sorrowful Marys and Christ and so many more things. He actually built an altar on the farm that's still there, and they held services there. And everyone who attended, which was a large number, risked a great deal, possible deportation. And the family was threatened by the Soviets a number of times, and some carvings were smashed. They're still standing there, so you'll see a cross with only part of it left, and the other part laying on the ground, which says a lot to me. But even through this, Orvidus continued to do his work until he died of a heart attack. And the farm and the family actually escaped destruction. And when you step onto that farm, you can feel the strength that God gives to those who follow him and proclaim who he is. On our week trip, traveling to all the Baltic capitals, we stopped in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And one of the most holy sites for me and for many people is the Gate of Dawn. It's the last remaining gate of the protective wall that encircled the city. And in the gate is this chapel dedicated to Our Lady of the Gate of Dawn. And that's this image right over here. And she's credited with a number of miracles. I think it's particularly interesting that both Catholic and Orthodox Christians make pilgrimage to this Mary every day. And you'll see people, as they walk under the gate, they will stop, they will cross themselves, and they will continue. And if you try to visit the icon, you'll most likely be one of the many in line climbing the steps to the small chapel, which does not hold very many people. You'll also pass some people who are climbing the steps on their knees, one by one. And the marble stairs are just worn down. You can see the years of pilgrimage to this place. And the most humbling experience is when you finally get up there and you hear the murmur of prayers that can last forever. People kneeling down and just praying. And seeing the amount of votive offerings that are surrounding you on every wall. There were so many, they had to take some of them, melt them down to create a new piece so that they could make room for more. And then on another excursion, we visited the Hill of Crosses. It's just what it sounds like if you're trying to picture it. It's a hill filled with crosses. It's gradually grown over the years. During the Soviet occupation, it was bulldozed three times and burnt. And each time the hill was rebuilt, even though it was guarded by Soviet soldiers. And it started out with only a handful of crosses. They're not exactly sure why it started. But more and more crosses were brought as a sign of resistance to the Soviet occupation. And today there's no way of knowing how many crosses are actually there, because there are so many layers and nature has claimed so many of them and then more put back up. There are large crosses and sculptures of Christ and Mary, and there are smaller crosses stuck in the ground, weeds growing around them, And then there are rosaries and pictures and small statues just all over the place. Some of the crosses are elaborately carved. They're beautiful. Others are handmade. There are a couple that are just tree branches tied together. Obviously didn't have a lot of money, but needed to go make that pilgrimage. Their size or what they're made of does not matter. Each represents a prayer, and together they symbolize the resilient faith of the Lithuanians. My pilgrimage to these holy places taught me something different in each site. I have learned that God speaks to us in many ways. Art in the church may seem foreign to us, but to many Christians it is a direct link to God. Looking at the face of Christ while praying is powerful. Standing before an image of Mary is challenging. By removing the icons and images from our churches, we have removed many ways to communicate and understand God. I have learned that we speak to God in everything that we do. Our body and actions can be used to glorify God or reject Him. I have learned that many places are holy places. If I seek God and am open to what God has in store for me.
Well, may the Lord bless to you what you see, what you've experienced, what was evoked or uncomfortable, how it challenged, or how it nurtured this time together. Also invite you to consider pausing as you wander down through the first floor hallway, just for a moment, and notice the other images and what they might invoke within you as an opportunity to pray, or even refocus your day as you come in for the first time, or as you leave this place, space. Again, thank you, Catherine, for this gift.